My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Giacomo Fino Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Now I want everyone to just take a second and get yourself together.
Okay.
And know this. It's real, bitch.
It's this real, bitch.
Las Culturistas podcast coming through your earphones.
Oh, come on. I just want to say we have not technically been on a full hiatus since last episode, but it's the liminal space between a non-hiatus and a full hiatus.
But still so much longer than I want to be.
Absolutely.
Away. I want to be talking to you all the doodad day.
All the doodad day. Do, yes. So much culture has happened since the last episode,
oh,
too.
Oh, a ton of culture.
Yes.
By the way, I just want to say, my name is Matt Rogers.
By the way, I want to say my name is Bowen Yang.
We are two best friends who host a podcast together that dives into culture. And wow, has there been a lot of culture these past days
there's been a lot of culture, and I also want to say this.
What?
I think it's very important to remind the listeners who we are, what we stand for, what our mission statement is, what our value proposition is, honey.
Yes, absolutely. See, in the beginning of anything, you want to establish who you are, what your relationship is to the other person.
What you have to offer, the value proposition. We're using business terms here, honey.
Yes, bitch.
Oh, yes, bitch.
Now, this all seems to be a very fitting introduction to our amazing guest.
Yes.
I'm so excited about this guest.
I love this guest so much. He is a true
this
mogul.
Guest?
A mogul
hashtag
of culture.
This guest.
This guest. Let's list off the credits.
Yeah,
honey.
I get off on these credits.
I get off.
He is on the legendary.
Yeah.
I said it.
Mm-hmm.
UCB weekend team, the law firm.
Yes, mythical.
Mythical
I
nature.
Say.
The mythical nature of this team.
Oh,
rings
absolutely.
True. Rings true.
He hosts the character wheelhouse show at UCB called Ding Dong.
Ding
honey.
Dong. And you can see that at UCB Chelsea. And it's coming up. And maybe even yours truly will be a guest.
Okay, girl.
Okay. It's a little teasing.
Okay,
a
yes.
A little bit of teasing. You know? Tickle, tickle. You might have known him from VH1's Best Week Ever.
Yes.
Which is, of course, famously the best show ever.
And what a little heartthrob.
Truly.
Truly.
In fact, a lot of community gays, a lot of UCB gays, a lot of people out there, these gays, they have a crush on Brian Fossen. I don't want to blow up anyone's spot.
But multiple sources have
but
said.
But multiple sources confirm they have crushes on Brian Fossen.
Since Best
for
Week
many
Ever
years.
Days.
Oh, shit.
Absolutely.
I gave away his name. Listen, you've seen him in videos on Above Average, all the doodah. It is Brian Foss.
Hi, Brian. Ooh, crush alert.
Yeah, crush alert. Crush
that was
worthy.
The first time I've heard that.
Really?
Come on.
You must have known. You must have had admirers.
Well, I think Janie and Kelly, our friends, mutual friends, have a bit going on where they pretend to be attracted to me because anytime I post like a shameless, this
thirst
is me.
Pic.
Attractive
yeah, thirst
photo.
Pic. Yeah.
Yeah.
They both will comment and tag each other.
Unbelievable. But
Brian.
No
I mean,
matter what.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm being made fun of.
No. Brian wields the power well, though, of the thirst trap. I
you know,
mean, Brian.
It's true.
Brian
and
posts
I will
some
say
I love
this.
A selfie. I love
yes.
a selfie.
We actually got to know Brian well because we were in Brian's advanced study performance class at UCB called Brunch, where we basically did.
Sorry, it was the official title is Brunch with
Brian
Foss.
Brunch with Brian Foss.
Gotta have the name in the title. Gotta have it.
Okay, yes. Amazing. I like that better. But I will say, when Brian entered the room,
yes,
I exclaimed, Daddy!
And it stuck.
It
and
caught
it stuck.
On to such an extent. And how did you feel when I said that? Because you gave me a look like you didn't like it.
I don't think, I feel like Brian didn't like it, but I'll let you answer for
Here's
yourself.
The thing about nicknames. You can't pick your own nickname.
That's
like,
true.
Even Sting, everyone's like, you're still Gordy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't pick your own nickname. It's
right.
not okay.
Not
and
cool.
So it happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I accept it. And no nickname, truly, in all of my years, no nickname is stuck except for
really?
Daddy.
That's unbelievable. I'm so thrilled.
And you're sort of the king of nicknames.
Yes.
You know, well, this is my thing. It's when I feel an instinct, I follow it. And, like, for example, Bowen has many nicknames. Bobisette.
Mm.
Alanis Bobisette.
Mm.
Bobise.
Bobisa.
Booba. Bobisa.
Yes. But as Matt has mentioned before, you know, he comes, the nicknames are out of complete affection.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, when I feel a burst of love in my heart, like some word will just fly forth.
You don't tease someone you don't.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's a fine line between a nickname and a teasing nickname, girl.
Yes.
If it's not, if it's bothering you, then.
No. I think daddy is hilarious. Yeah. I'm not a father in real life, but when you're a teacher in a class, you're sort of like.
You're a daddy.
Everyone goes into their old, like, psychosexual, you know, positions. Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. Like, absolutely.
And it's funny how some people become like the rebels in the class, even though outside of class, they're like, have no issue with authority and they don't think of you that way. But because suddenly they're like in ninth grade and they're being told what to do.
Yeah, no. Right. I mean, there is definitely, I've actually always, for as long as I've been in a classroom, I've always had a thing with the teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I've always thought it was like a thing with authority, but like, I've never not been like a little sexually intimidated by the person that was teaching the class.
Oh, there's
and this goes power, back to since I was like in first grade.
I had a math teacher, and I'll use her old name because she's had like other
divorcee, honey. Yeah. Yep.
Mrs. Mobley. And now she's someone else. And, but she was this like 100-pound little like probably 27-year-old hottie math teacher. She like did business school, did corporate world for like a couple years, and was like, you know what, I'm gonna go back to the kids.
Yeah.
And she used to make eyes at me in our pre-calc class. That's right, pre-calculus. And then I took AP calc with her, but she
smart.
Yeah, you know, I got a 5. So
did you?
Yeah.
An AP Calc?
I got a 5 in AP Calc.
Yeah.
What?
Someone and I are very smart. We're very smart.
I took Regents Statistics.
Oh, what is that?
Man. It's like
statistics is very hard.
You could either do calculus or you could do statistics. And I chose to do statistics because it was easier. And I also did.
It's a myth. It's not easier. Statistics is
probability
crazy
is like the hardest part of math.
Conceptualizing probability is nuts.
I mean, think about it. I don't want to bring up the election in the first minute of every conversation, but perfect example, it's like people look at the percentage on the New York Times and they think Hillary will win by 83%. It's like, no.
It's a light. It's a probability.
If there were 5 elections,
yeah,
she will win 4 of them and lose one of them, and we got the 5th one.
Yep.
And people are like, wait, no. And it's like, she has the 80% chance of winning by only 1%. Now, if we said, what is her chance of winning by 5%? The number would be very different.
Yeah.
And people's confidence would have been very different.
Exactly.
But look, it's very difficult as humans to wrap our brains around this.
Brian can teach probability.
Which is why I've famously taken to the woods.
Uh-huh.
And now I listen to nothing. I only come out for this podcast.
Sure.
So listen, we're talking about daddy and, you know, Mark has a beautiful husband. I mean, Brian has a beautiful husband, Mark. And you know, Mark has a beautiful husband
Thank
named
you.
Brian
oh,
Foss
come
as well.
On.
It goes both ways.
So,
beauty of homosexuality.
So, what I guess this naturally goes to is children. When?
Oh my God. I get that. We get this question all the time.
I'm sure you do.
And it's a compliment to be like, you would be great parents, but it's also sort of a backhanded compliment.
I didn't mean it as that.
We didn't even say I would be a good parent. I like put that in your mouth. We don't have kids now, and we're not planning on having kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we did, we would. The only thing that we have decided on is that we would adopt. We wouldn't.
Yeah.
Do like the surrogacy route.
You must.
And then the only other thing we've talked about is like, if we did have kids, we would probably not adopt an infant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like an older kid that can already talk and shit?
Talk, comma, and shit? Yeah.
Well, hopefully it could shit. You know, otherwise that'd be a whole other issue. We'd be like, where we get this kid? Kid can't shit.
All right.
Kid doesn't even shit.
Where does it go?
Kid talks, doesn't shit. Unbelievable, this kid.
Or kid shits, doesn't talk.
Thought we were doing a good thing, getting him a little bit later in life. You know what? Kid doesn't shit.
But yeah, like... 3, 4, 5, 6. Those are great ages.
Yeah,
that's good. That's
Brian, that's very
nice. And so we recently had Beth Newell on the show, and we said to her, like...
Oh, right. How many kids does she have?
She's 2. Got 2.
Wow.
But she gets to expose these kids to culture.
Mm.
And we were talking a little bit before we got on air, and Brian Foss.
Yes, Brian.
You know, what is the culture that made you say, culture's for me? I know you have a certain love for a certain pop star that we share.
Right. That would be Mariah Carey.
That would be Miss Mariah.
Now, I don't know if she's the thing that the first time I realized.
Right, of course.
For me. I definitely.
She was defining, though, in a way.
Remember watching, there was a VH1 or MTV Mariah Carey versus Whitney Houston music video marathon.
Oh, oh yeah.
It was on a Saturday or Sunday.
It's great programming.
My wet dream.
And I like had to mow the lawn that day and like hid
hot
in the basement trying to watch this thing.
Oh man.
And
yeah.
It was yeah, it was great. So and that was I don't what was that like third grade? Like
yeah,
fourth
yeah,
grade.
Yeah.
Wow, early.
But I would say there was similar. It's like culture to me. First time I was like, wow, I want to do that. I don't know how was probably watching that movie Heathers.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
And
yes.
What's crazy is like we didn't have, you know, streaming everything.
Yeah, you had to go out and get it.
I watched it for the first time on TBS, censored.
So it was like watered down Heathers.
So, you know, and there's some like Gently with a Chainsaw wasn't in it, you know.
Yeah.
It was like they had all these cutaway shots, and actually I read later that like Shannon Doherty, she had like a stage mom that didn't want her to say any like bad words.
I thought you were going to say Shannon Doherty actually improvised a lot of her amazing dialogue. No. And I was like, there's no goddamn
absolutely
way.
Absolutely not. That script is perfect. And the writer for that movie also wrote Batman Returns.
Oh,
Hudson
wow.
Yeah. There are things that when I was like a young gayling, I was like, didn't realize I'm like Michelle Pfeiffer's.
Is a gay icon.
Like. Catwoman is, I mean, that is such a brilliant
for the ages.
Yes. Yeah. And even the Penguin is so funny in that.
Penguin's yeah.
Like really
when they
funny.
Throw
it's
him
Danny DeVito.
It's Come so on. Funny.
I yeah. became fixated with Michelle Pfeiffer. And then in my room when I was by myself, I pretend someone was pushing me out a window to my death.
Oh, I would do that too. That.
Yeah. Like, ah! And then you become a cat.
The amount of backflips when she
Catwoman, hear me roar, and then she just backflips away. Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
The amount of backflips is so hilarious.
6, 7, all good girls go to heaven.
Truly iconic. I would reenact the scene where she, yeah, where she would go home to her apartment and then the cats would all, like, she basically, yeah, yep.
I mean, terrifying. It's so funny.
It's so good.
It's a great game. All
great
of that
game.
Great game. And Heathers is so smart, and I remember being on a vacation and my whole family was sort of sleeping in. We were visiting family in Long Island, Suffolk County, Bayshore.
Respect. One town over from my growing up in.
Islip. Actually, we might have been in Islip or West Islip.
Okay. Then that's even
hey,
closer.
Hey, Islip. How you doing?
You're Babylon?
It's your girl. No, I'm Islip.
It's Islip.
Okay. And I like was the youngest of four. I would wake up early. Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
When you like wake up before the parents. And I went over and it was like maybe 7 in the morning. And I went into like the room and watched Heathers for the first time.
The real Heathers or the TBS Heathers.
The TBS Heathers. Okay. And wow. I was like, the volume is probably on like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I was
because God
this
forbid.
Is real.
I pulled up like a chair to the screen.
That's
and
real.
Watched it. And I remember being like, what is this?
Yeah.
Christian Slater was making me feel things.
Ooh,
yeah, for
Winona
sure.
Winona Ryder was making me feel different things.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's specific.
That's
a
very
great answer.
Good one.
Yeah. Heathers. I mean, yeah, I feel like there might have been some generational...
That definitely wasn't mine, but I was absolutely infatuated with all things Clueless. Like when I first saw Alicia Silverstone, I was like, who the fuck is she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I need to know everything about what that is about.
Yeah.
Why are they talking like that?
Yeah.
She looks like I've never seen anyone look her.
And
the
styling, it being like, that's not really what high school kids wore.
Right.
Definitely
right,
not.
Right. You know, it's like
it's a cartoon.
Preppy.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, but apparently they did. Amy Heckerling, who wrote that and directed it, like apparently she did hang out like with those kids.
I don't doubt that those kids existed.
But they're heightened versions of what those kids are.
Absolutely.
I mean, is there a guy that wears like a 1950s matinee idol outfit to school? Like, I don't think so.
Honestly, what was that choice? I think that movie is
so
genius
smart.
In every way.
I remember being truly surprised that he was like the gay friend.
Right.
Didn't get Christian. That he was gay until many years later. Well, I was watching it as like a 6-year-old. In fact, I remember...
Well, they have a euphemism in it, but they...
Maybe
Streisand ticket holding friend of Dorothy. You know what I'm saying?
And I was like, don't know what that is.
Nuh-uh. He's gay. And they said, he's gay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they explicitly
said Oh my
said
God,
it.
Cher, the boy can dress. Oh my God, I'm totally bugging. All these words like meant
so
nothing
funny.
To me
yeah.
being 7 or 8 years old in
yeah.
the back of my parents' conversion van on a trip down to Florida because we decided to drive that year.
Oh, why wouldn't you drive?
My sister and I are watching it in the back on that television that was like literally put in the conversion van.
Yes.
And we finished watching it and I turned to my sister who was like 5 And she, I was like, I liked it. She goes, me too. I want to watch it again right now. And we put it back on and we watched it again and we didn't get a second of it. But it was like visual too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like a sneaky trick to make it a visual snack.
Yes. Yes.
You got to have art direction, girl.
Rule number 28 of culture. Culture should be a tricky snack.
Mm-hmm. Tricky snack?
Tricky snack.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's a new one.
That's why satire is so like brilliant. It's mm-hmm. like the Trojan horse. It's like, look at this thing that everyone can enjoy.
Yeah.
But then we're going to slip in something like that is Stephen Colbert, the broccoli or the cheese.
Yeah. See, that actually I think was a cultural high point that year, because Clueless was the same year that also Scream came out.
Oh.
And it was these funny
Kevin Williamson.
Yeah.
Genius.
These funny genre heightened stuff that was like really good for so many other reasons besides like how like amazing they hit their genre and like how funny they were. You know what yes. I mean? Like what a good time.
That was a good year. What, 94, 95?
94, 95, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a fun time to revisit. Like, and Clueless, I think now you can watch it and it's on Netflix and you can watch it and it holds up every time. And the jokes, there are so many jokes.
We were living in like a pre-Columbine world.
Truly.
Was this the right time in the podcast to bring up school shootings?
Absolutely. This is like about the time where we talk about school shootings.
I will say, so maybe this is the generation gap, but that was sort of like a big turning point in my high school because our high school was like demographically the exact same as the ones we saw on TV and in the ones and the where Columbine happened.
Mm-hmm. It was
this like suburban, mostly white high school.
And
like
you grew up?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Roswell.
Yes.
And like we started to have like mesh book bags and or clear book bags and certain clothes like overalls and trench coats weren't allowed.
Oh, it was very trench coats.
We talked about that. This last week because Abra was on and we about why you couldn't wear hats. And then one theory that was positive was because you could sneak a gun in a hat.
Absolutely not.
And then Abra goes, well, then what the fuck do you do with the backpacks that everyone's bringing in? Like, what about those? I was like, there's no way I'm hiding a gun under my hat.
Oh my God.
But I remember I was in third grade for Columbine, and my teacher made us stand in a circle and hold hands and sing Jules' song "Hands."
Oh, that is a gay teacher.
It might have been one of her worst songs too. it's so like pedophilic a little, isn't it?
I'm not familiar.
I know every word.
My hands are small. I know.
Oh, of course.
Not yours. They are my own.
And the video was literally her walking through like a bomb site.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Uh-huh.
That might have been the trigger.
I think
image.
Foolish Games is great. And that was for one of the Batman soundtracks. She got banged for that.
Oh, Foolish Games is one of my favorite songs of all time.
There's a thing.
I standing still? Okay, keep going.
Oh, am I standing still?
Wait, is that the title? Or am I standing still?
No, You're Standing Still is one of her songs, but that's...
Matt's giving me a look.
I think it's one of her weaker efforts.
I don't know, Jewel.
That to me is up there with, follow your heart, your intuition. When she was like, I'm going to be hot.
I will say this is... I'll never forget when Jewel said that she was pressured into singing like a frog by her record producers. And then when she finally was a star, she could say, I don't want to do the frog voice. Do you remember this?
No. I don't remember
so
that.
So her first album, she does a lot of the...
Oh, my God.
Who will save your soul? So she hated going into her head voice and doing that full round sound.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted, who will sing? That's what she wanted to do.
Oh.
She was wrong, because as we all learned, Jewel stopped making good music.
Yeah. Well, that's actually interesting because, you know, there's two versions of Foolish Games. There's the one that's on the first Pieces of You album, and it's more classical sounding in terms of the composition of the music, uh-huh. and also she sings it differently.
Interesting.
And then they re-recorded it, I think, after the success of...
I want to say it was Batman Forever.
It
was on one of the
Batman...
It
was on Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Or was it Batman and Robin? No, it was Batman Forever.
Yeah.
But what was her first big song? You Were Meant For Me. So
Great
You Were
song.
Meant For Me became like huge, I think one of the best songs of the 90s. And then after that, they kind of like were like, okay, we have to look at your album again.
Right.
And they were like, let's make this more commercial.
Which
and
one?
She re-recorded Foolish Games, which was like a big adult contemporary hit. And she did sing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
and they cut a whole verse out of it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing to me that you know this.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a huge... for me, it's like, I didn't listen to MTV. I didn't watch MTV because I wasn't allowed, so I was like, well, I guess I'll watch VH1.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, very familiar with, like, Leanne Rimes and
uh-huh.
Jewel and Shania Twain and Mariah Celine. Like, I was into, like, what the, like...
Diva's Live.
Young
VH1.
Moms were into.
Right.
Yeah, I was. That was my thing. And when Diva's Live happened, that was, like...
That was
a huge moment for me.
Oh my God, Mariah singing with Aretha,
Celine singing,
and
with,
Shania. Like,
yeah,
it was
Shania
crazy.
Did not belong
that
there.
Was like Shania's like introduction to the mainstream. I think that was when everyone was like, "Oh, Shania!" Though
the uh-huh. next year, Faith Hill, they brought her in.
Yeah,
and I think the next year they did Faith Hill and Leanne. They were trying to
The next year was the big one was Whitney Houston. So the uh-huh. year prior had been like it was like Aretha's night, and then it was Whitney Houston, and the young diva they had was Brandy.
Woof.
And
not a
Faith
fan.
Hill was on it.
Not a fan of Brandy.
Okay.
Well, okay. So
we'll get into that.
I get it, but did you know that Brandy is actually heralded by like many R&B singers and like singers
as
in general
as voice.
Having like one of the best voices of all time? Like,
I do not agree.
Well, her riffs are like statistically on point.
Okay, but did you hear the advice that Whitney Houston gave to Brandy on the set
of Cinderella?
Cinderella?
No, what was the advice?
What was
again?
It?
I think
she
I've heard
was
this
like,
before.
You need to support your notes. and Whitney has said it in interviews on camera that was like, so you're performing with this, you know, amazing, you know, legend.
She doesn't support her notes.
Did she give you any advice? And it was like, what advice did she give? It's like, she said, I need to, like, you know, be louder and I need to support my notes.
But maybe that was a corrective piece of advice and she's taking
And now
it to
she's
heart.
Belting it out and we all.
In Chicago.
I think
I heard
that,
she was terrible in Chicago.
Well, not an actress. I think
Cinderella?
That Whitney wouldn't bother with advice unless she saw something for real.
That is a great point. That is a great point. I'm not going to spend this podcast taking down Brandy. I'm on Team Monica.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Team Monica all the way. Because Brandy came into that situation of the boy is mine, a real victim. Hi, excuse me. Can I talk to you? I'm sorry. And Monica's like, what, bitch? What do you have to say?
But Brandy,
both know what you're going to say.
No, honey. Brandy was coming into that situation being respectful. and you cannot twist her to be a victim, honey. I'm Team Brandy in this situation.
Wow.
She comes in there. Brandy comes in here, apologizes to herself with her shoulders hunched and says, Can I please talk to you for a minute? And Monica says, mm-hmm. And she's getting right to it.
Let's do this because we've done this before. Let's do it word for word, okay? Because I will show you how Brandy.
Let's go. Let's do it.
This is why this is
Here
my favorite podcast.
Here we
Thank
go.
You, Brian. Excuse me. Can I please talk to you for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, you look kind of familiar.
Yeah, you do too. But I just want to know, do you know somebody named... You know his name.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know his name.
Well, I just want to let you know that he's mine.
No, he is mine.
So here we go. Let's do a little play-by-play. Uh-huh. Brandy, the inflection point in that exchange is Brandy saying, well, I just want to let you know I'm asserting to myself. Is that a victim? No, she's saying, I just want to let you know that he's mine.
The intro is passive, but then she goes.
She gets aggressive.
Well, here's the deal. When you listen to it, tell me this isn't true. Before Brandy walked into that coffee shop and saw Monica sitting there, she was in her car doing laps around the place. Like, okay, when you go in there, you're going to say, excuse me, you're going to be polite, and no matter what you feel, and then you're going to just assert yourself.
Projection.
You're going to assert yourself, Brandy. And Monica's sitting in there like, this coffee's wrong. This is not what I ordered. Excuse me. Hello.
This is a conjecture. This
and
is
that's
not...
what makes me Monica and Bo and Brandy.
Okay, all right.
And some of us are...
Some of us
just Brandies.
Okay.
I have that now. I have that Monica song in my head. I should make a move, but I won't. I know you're probably thinking something is wrong. Knowing if I do that, it won't be right. I want to get down, but not the first night.
Yes.
I love that
wow.
message.
I love that album.
I love that message.
We should
save
also
it for
say
the second date.
Monica's Monica's
second date. That's all.
Second date.
This is my favorite Monica song of all time.
Angel
and
of Mine.
No, Angel of Mine.
Oh,
and no one shouts it out. What you mean to me, you never know. Different now. You help me grow.
Show me love.
Even when I lost the hope, you show me love.
I mean, great songwriting.
Great vocals.
Let me tell you something. Yes. Great vocals. Also, for you I will. I will cross the ocean for you.
Every song in the 90s had this snap.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait.
What?
Rule number 28 of Culture.
We're getting into some rules.
Monica, bitch.
28 is just Monica.
She doesn't get the credit.
No.
And you know what? That sucks. Monica's the best.
Yeah.
But you know, she lives in Atlanta. She's still like a celebrity.
Oh, she's an Atlanta girl.
Yeah.
Great.
I didn't know that.
Atlanta takes care of, Donald Glover talked about this.
Mm, what did he say?
He was saying that Atlanta's where it's at right now because people stay. They move back there and they support their artists.
That's funny. I recently had a friend move to Atlanta because he said the work was better there.
There are a lot of opportunities growing up there. It's what is it being called? Yollywood.
That's what they call it.
I love that.
The Walking
and
Dead.
And here I thought my favorite play on Hollywood was Dollywood.
I went to Dollywood.
You did?
Oh my God, we have to talk about Dollywood.
All right, so we went in May and
recent.
Two things I didn't realize. There's not like dollies walking around.
No. It's not about dolly. It's about the wood.
I know.
It's about supporting the mountains, the Smoky Mountains.
And there was a bunch of gay couples walking around that were stone sober, all looking like we'd pass and you'd get that eye contact like, we thought this was going to be something else. There was definitely a bit of a trick. That said, that's one. It's not as much dolly as I wanted.
Sure.
They have like one dress store that you can like buy things and that's it.
There's no fierce wigs?
No. Yeah. No.
Or nail pressings?
Other thing that is crazy about Dollywood is that there was another amusement park, like a town over, that had like a fire or went bankrupt or something.
So, oh my God.
So Dollywood bought all of their
employees? Or what?
Dolly's like,
all of their roller coasters. So Dollywood, like 20 years ago, had like 5 rides.
Yeah.
And it was mostly like the kitsch and like, oh, there's a folk band and eat some, you know, pork rinds. And that's like part of it. They bought all these insane roller coasters and then filled in every possible inch of Dollywood with roller coasters. And it feels incredibly dangerous.
Oh, really?
And I recommend that.
Did you ride?
That was the best part. Like, it was, I've never felt like I was going to die more.
Oh, my God.
Than
no
on, like, a
way.
Rickety, like, hill country roller coaster. There's one called, like, the Screaming Eagle that like, gave me whiplash. And I was just like, I don't know who I would tell.
What the fuck?
I'm in the middle of Tennessee. There's no alcohol here. I mean, it was wild.
There's no alcohol there?
It's a dry amusement park.
Come through.
I mean, that doesn't seem...
I hate that. Did you ride... They have like a nationally recognized wooden roller coaster there called Thunderhead. Did you ride Thunderhead?
Yes.
Yeah, that's like, that's like her crown jewel of that park.
Yeah, they have a lot of rides in a very small space. And so you could do the whole park if you wanted to in like 2 hours.
Mm. Where is this?
Tennessee?
Yeah, it's in...
Is it outside of Nashville?
No, it's closer to Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge, that's where it is.
Yeah. And the fires recently were in Gatlinburg or Gatlinville.
Oh, so this is the fires were recent and like the acquisition of all these crazy rides.
No. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm confusing the recent fires with the reason the amusement park. But yeah, Dolly donated like $1,000 to every family affected by the fire. And
she's
the best.
Dolly's
the
best.
She's truly amazing. And also, I'm adding her to my bucket list there to see live. I was scrolling around on Spotify and I listened to, they have a concert of hers that she did in London.
Mm.
And it's such a gag because like the last...
I wouldn't think she'd be popular there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's internationally popular.
Wow.
And also, there's a lot of...
The British love country.
Yeah. Canadians love country, too. You know who's huge in Canada still are the Dixie Chicks.
Wow. Yeah.
So they still go on huge North American tours, but they just do most of it in...
North America.
Dixie Chicks do European tours, too, still. I think last year when they were touring last summer.
Well, that's where the controversy happened was... England.
Right, yeah.
When she said that thing about George W. Bush.
Because it was interesting.
Yeah. So then she came back to the States and everyone was like all fired up and insane. But I think they still do really well. I mean, they just did a huge concert at Madison Square Garden that I was supposed to go to.
Yeah, last year. It was right after Orlando. Well, you were going to say something about Dolly's London concert?
She, her, She has a concert on Spotify. It's like live from London or something. And what's such a gag is the last seven songs are like huge hits that you can't deny. Like mm-hmm. 9 to 5. When you hear the beginning mm-hmm. chords of yep, 9 to 5, yep, you're yep. like, fuck yes.
Yep.
And but also her introductions and outros of all the songs. Oh my God, I love singing. And I've always wanted to sing. So it's so great to be here sing with all of you. And here's my next song. And it's just like, it's insane.
So the great Dolly story real quick. So she came to New York to meet with the Broadway producers for the 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And they like had dinner. She's like, I love New York City, Times Square, whatever. Right. Uh-huh. And like, great. So like, obviously 9 to 5 will be in the show, but we want to have all original music. And she was like, sounds good. Yeah. I'll go back to my hotel. The next morning she showed up with like 30 songs.
Yeah.
Oh my
she's
God.
A, they were like, she's a freak.
What? She's like, I just went back to my hotel and got to writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And also, there's one song. I hope my friend Amanda Schachtman is listening to this because we always gag over this song, which is Get Out and Stay Out.
Yeah.
Which is like the 11 o'clock number in that musical where Stephanie J. Block is just like, I'm not going to be abused anymore. And she's like the Jane Fonda character. Mm. And it's such a fierce, like, singer's number. Literally, the end of it is just this woman, like, belting her tits off, like, get up and stay out! It's just so good. I recommend everyone go home, listen to it.
Belting her tits off.
And also, like full tits. One of her tits fell off at the end of the number.
The tits fell
And then
off.
Everyone just... It was an ovation.
Ovation, honey.
But I never saw 9 to 5, and I'm mad because I would gag for Allison Janney.
I'm a recent Dolly convert, truly. And like, and then I watched like a mm-hmm. bunch of her interviews like last year. And like her and Barbara Walters like in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And Barbara's asking her these truly inane questions like, well, what's with all the makeup and the wigs and
so
stuff?
Stupid.
And like, and then Dolly's just like very like measuredly and like gracefully answering everything, and
Dolly's still making jokes about her chest.
Yes,
she was at an award show like a week ago.
Takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
A line now co-opted by drag queen Alaska Thunderfuck.
Yeah,
but I mean as a tribute, but
right, of course
Dolly is Dolly's
I just got mad for a second. I was like,
no, Alaska, no,
no. I yeah. like Alaska.
We know Alaska.
I watch her YouTube channel with her brother.
Yes.
Who seems gayer than Alaska, right, which is very funny.
Right, right, right.
Is called, he gay?
He's supposedly
They
straight.
Call him Bro-Laska.
Bro-Laska. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
and so it's a lot
okay,
of
okay.
like, he said, she said about like
gay, what they grew up, yeah. how they grew up.
And sex, and sex right. practices and stuff. It's cute.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Mm.
Yes, God.
World of Wonder. They're That's the making, RuPaul.
Did you hear about
company.
the two new green lights?
No.
So there's going to be two new shows coming out on YouTube. There's going to be House of Edwards, which is Alyssa Edwards' show, also featuring, yes, also featuring LaGanja Estranja, and it's going to be about...
LaGanja's having
a comeback.
She's all set.
Mm-hmm.
She's All Stars 3, I think,
yes,
front runner.
I love it. Oh, yeah.
So
she's a great story.
She yeah. is, and I think things are going to... turn out really, really well for her. But it's going to be House of Edwards with LaGanja and Alyssa, and it's about them running their dance studio. So it's essentially Dance Moms, but with Alyssa Edwards.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's going to be apparently like all about all like the kooky parents and like their employees
so
and
it's
the
children.
Kids. Yeah,
I love that.
Well,
love
she
that.
Teaches like K through 18,
and they all worship her.
Yeah,
and you don't on Drag Race. There's a few like. Classic drag queen skills you don't really get to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Like on the show. Obviously, lip syncing you get to see if you're being kicked off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's rarely like a lip sync challenge, you know?
Right.
Right.
Like a lot of the, I don't know, a lot of the challenges aren't what these performers do every week. Like working
yeah,
a crowd.
Totally.
Like I working mean, a room is not something they ever get challenged on doing.
No.
You know what I mean?
Every now and then they'll do like a stand up challenge and there'll yes. be some element of it. But you know what's crazy is, like, for example, Violet Chachki, her number one thing is her, like, aerial silks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she never did it on the show.
So the folks at home are like, why did she win?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we didn't see. It's like people kept saying corsets. And it's like, well, no. That's not what she does
right, yeah. right.
when she performs.
She's a performer.
She's incredible.
David.
I met her.
You met Violet?
At a gay bar in Atlanta.
How was that?
Oh, because she's from Atlanta.
It was sort of sad. Because there was like, she wasn't in drag. Mm-hmm. He right. was like, but he wanted like people to still like take pictures with him and stuff.
So he's really clamoring for tough. That attention. It is, yeah, it is weird. What was I going to say? No, David, previous guest of the show, said, really, and I think this is a great point, but it's also maybe not feasible, where like one of the final challenges should be the queens just to craft their own live show.
Yeah.
But if it means like lip syncing to their own numbers, and they would have to like just go through all like the rights and the royalties.
That's the thing, is it's like even Bob the Drag Queen, like you see Bob the Drag Queen live in New York, which we did all the time before he mm-hmm. was on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, you truly, even after watching the season and knowing how amazing Bob is, and Bob obviously won rightfully and earned tons of new fans, you still don't know how fucking good Bob
you
is.
You still want to tell people, you still no, don't Bob get it. Does this and this and this and this.
I have a question for you, Matt, because I know you're an Idol, American Idol savant.
Huge part of my life.
So Bob the Drag Queen was the fan who became the winner, right?
Yeah.
Had seen all the...
Sure.
That's sort of this... sub-narrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who is that for American Idol? Who came in and knew exactly which kinds of songs to flip?
You know, it's so interesting with American Idol because it has so much less to do with your creativity and so much more to do with like how lucky you get on the show if
in
they choose
image.
You as a favorite or not.
Like, could it be like a David Cook?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I doubt that David Cook actually watched a lot of it. I think David Cook just like... was given the opportunity to take a lot of artistic license. David yeah. Cook, famously at the time, they did a Mariah Carey week.
This is what I was thinking
He arranged Always Be My Baby, and it was like...
as like an emo, dark song,
yeah.
right?
And yeah. also, nobody covers Always Be My Baby, because how could you do it?
Right.
I mean, like, it's one of those songs, and this is like with a lot of Mariah
especially
songs,
without backup singers. Like, so much of it's about the backup.
And they say this on... they used to say this on the show, and I think still for a lot of talent shows, they say, you know, don't do Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's too hard to...
people are expecting to hear certain notes, and if you can't hit those notes...
Yeah.
So then was this successful?
It was hugely successful. And she was even there coaching them. This is before she did her stint as a judge on the show.
Right.
And you could tell she legitimately was, like, really into it.
Cool.
She was like, wow, this is really cool.
Nice.
She might have even said, we should put that out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And they did, and it was a hit. Like, when they used to release them on iTunes mm-hmm. and stuff, which I love.
Chrissy Lee Cook did Forever as a country song.
It was
Mariah
good.
Said, literally, I like that better than my version.
That's...
well, because Forever, like, is a country
it's
song.
It's like, and it's a country song from, like, the 60s, you know? It's like Elvis, you know,
Forever is great.
This is, oh man, Mariah.
And I just want to say this about Mariah.
She used to be so fucking amazing.
I just want to say this about Mariah. I mean, the fact that she was able to like concede that like these interpretations were like really novel and really great, without like, I mean, like that's how you know she's like that. Mm-hmm. That's how you know she cares about the work first and foremost, and it's not about like...
well,
the diva antics. I mean, at the time,
because even then, even that Mariah, which was like 2000. Eight or nine
Seven,
Mariah
yeah.
is like a different Mariah than
I
what
guess.
We have now. Like,
she's now a reality star. She's got
wacko.
Yeah, two kids, two husbands.
Yeah.
She's got two props.
Two props. She's
called her kids.
Famously on the first episode of Mariah's World, she was on one yacht while her husband was on another yacht.
Yeah.
So
it's always so annoying when you can't decide which yacht to be on, and then you have to just agree to disagree and go on different yachts.
And the yachts drive past each other, and you're like, you come to my yacht. No, no, you come to my
literally
yacht.
Literally, that happened.
Oh my God, I can't
and
believe it.
Wait, but Mariah, this is interesting. Like, I was listening to, I guess, What's the Tea or something, or some interview with RuPaul, and she was talking about how
talking
Mariah...
oh,
Mariah
no,
was
no.
on What's the Tea?
No. Like, this is like, at some point I heard RuPaul say this during some interview, maybe on her podcast, What's the Tea? And saying how, you know, they always want to do Mariah songs as lip syncs for your life, or they always want to include Mariah in some way.
But
because
the label doesn't...
but, you know, it's just, they will never clear her songs.
Because maybe, because she has at least 50% songwriting credit on every song, it requires her approval.
Yeah.
Which means... right. emailing Mariah Carey.
No way.
Can you think she's good with email? You think she gets back to you?
I think I would. What a delicious irony it would be if Mariah was like great at email and responded right away.
Yeah,
she's like representing herself.
Yeah, she's like, hey, yeah, totally. Let's like,
yeah, absolutely. Putting this in my Google Cal.
Oh my God, I've seen her in concert a few times. It's a bummer because there's so much time spent off stage. And then you think, like, she's going to come out with, like, a full mermaid costume with wings, and it's, like, the same thing.
No.
But with different shoes.
Like famously.
Like, what is she doing back there? And they have this DJ that's like,
yeah,
hey guys, you remember this Jackson 5 song? And then he'll play like non-Mariah music just to keep the crowd going. And it's very much the R&B crowd that still comes out.
Yeah.
My first concert, Mariah. Her first words, stepping onto the stage, do you like the ensemble?
This is a sailor. The Bianca versus Mariah.
She was dressed as a sailor.
And then the thread of the concert was Bianca versus Mariah.
The first words, do you like the ensemble?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Bianca, I will say,
for those who don't know, it's from the Heartbreaker video. Yes. Bianca is the brunette version of Mariah that is evil, and they have a fist fight in the bathroom at the movie theater over Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
For those who don't know.
And I mean, this concert was truly bizarre. We talked about it before on the show.
Okay, we can move on.
But the thing is, wait, Mariah, though, she... I get upset when I talk about her because because truly, like, my life was changed by the Butterfly album. And then also the lyrics in the Butterfly album. You listen to the lyrics on like what she's getting at.
Even simple songs like 4th of July. Like.
Yeah. Well, my favorite, I think of all, one of my favorites of all time is The Roof. And I also love Breakdown. Like, those are two, like, kind of deep cuts on that album. And then also she's got this ballad on that album called Whenever You Call, which is so good.
And Brian McKnight does a duet version that's even better, I would say.
I kind of prefer it with just her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if Adele recorded Whenever You Call today, people would be gagging. But Mariah did that shit literally 20 years ago.
And no one cared.
It's 20 years ago.
I know. Isn't that insane? And also, that's why when people are like, truly gagged over 25, like All I Ask, I'm like, you guys, Mariah was doing better work than this in 1997. Like, she had these kind of soaring pop ballads with R&B influences and this better voice than Adele.
But her brand wasn't the authentic, like, black and white walking along the river with a trench coat.
I mean,
that was Adele. That was the Someone Like You moment. The video was as important as that song.
Are the Grammys
tonight?
Holy shit, that's insane. Okay, so you guys are going to listen to this today when you're listening to it, but the Grammys will have been last night.
Beyonce.
If that happens, I'm going to be so pissed.
I'm going to be really upset.
It might happen.
And you know it's going to be such a thing. Like that.
I mean, here's the thing. Rightfully so, it would be.
The recording industry, they vote, right?
Right.
And they are invested in artists that
make
money and also... They want more artists that don't require a ton of production and a ton of... And so, like...
Beyonce, spends so much money on her albums.
I mean, every song has a video. Right. Like, she doesn't give interviews. I think the machine of it wants an artist like Beck, wants an artist like Adele, wants an artist like
Taylor
Prince,
Swift,
who plays all his own instruments. Like, they want someone who's... It's about the music and about the recording.
Yeah. I believe that
I don't think
is
Beyonce
about
is
the
not,
music.
But...
That's the thing is, like, I just feel like at this point, like, you gotta, like, and it's so weird to say this about, like, the contemporary artist who's literally won the most Grammys of anyone, which is Beyonce, but, like, she should win Album of the Year for Lemonade. You have to have some respect. Like, have some respect. Like, Lemonade was it, and 25 is 21.0.
What if Bieber's purpose wins?
Honestly, God
my
bless.
My life is a moment.
Fascism will have truly won.
Everyone's
watching.
Honestly,
in Trump's America, you have to expect Bieber's going to win Album of the Year at the Grammys.
The rules are out the door.
Because it's interesting. It's going to be very interesting.
I blame Bieber for Trump.
Oh, sure.
I think this year, this is my book. Uh-huh. Ready? I'm pitching my book.
Here
idea.
We go.
This past year, we didn't have a Bieber to hate. We didn't have a Miley Cyrus to shock people for months. Here's some pop culture stories that happened in 2016, and you tell me if they made a splash.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian was hogtied in her Paris hotel room and robbed.
Yeah.
How much did you hear about it?
While it
happened a lot, but then it died down after 2 days.
But
2 days. Yeah. The biggest... like social media reality star was hogtied in her hotel room and robbed in Paris
at gunpoint.
Both Justin Bieber and Orlando Bloom released dick pics.
Yeah.
To like compete with each other because they have a feud over Orlando Bloom's baby mama. That happened this year. Do you remember talking about this?
I mean, keep listing, but I'm going to
Ryan Lochte, this was actually one of the bigger ones, but still, 2 weeks,
right.
Ryan Lochte, like, vandalized and peed all over a mm-hmm. Brazilian gas station
and
with
lied.
Lied about it.
And then lied about it. And then went on Dancing with the Stars and was almost punched by an audience member.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh my God.
2 weeks and it went away.
Uh-huh.
It's like we needed a Charlie Sheen this year. We needed a...
Well, that you know was, what, but you know what took up way too much time in respect to all that was when fucking Kim Kardashian released the clip of Taylor Swift and Kanye West's phone call.
Uh-huh.
It's like...
That was a great story.
That was... I mean, it was...
It's a beautiful
It was
story.
So satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was a that was probably maybe one of the bigger ones. That and Beyonce and Jay-Z, did he cheat? You know what I mean? Like that was like a big one too.
But it felt immediately like... Once her song came out addressing it, it was like, huh, maybe this was all part of the
marketing ploy.
The marketing ploy. What I'm saying, there wasn't something that felt truly like a train wreck except for the obvious story that we saw on the headline,
yeah.
you know, every day.
Yeah.
But I'm saying we needed, like, Bieber, like, got a good album and stopped driving drunk, you know. And,
right, right.
Like, a lot but of the artists that we are used to having those crazy moments, like, just... Like,
but it's like,
year off.
But it's like nothing can really break through the noise anymore. That's why it all dies down. Like even, and I'll say this, like even with like the whole Trump like piss play dossier,
yeah.
that died down after three. Uh-huh. You know, like
it's the because insanity the pacing, is the new normal.
And the pacing is, like, no one can keep up.
Yeah.
No one can keep up. Like, I don't know what the shelf life is anymore for any sort of like big crazy story. Like we'll talk about it for sure. And there'll be a spike in the discourse or whatever, but like you can't, nothing lives on anymore, and that's kind of tragic. Like we can't really like let things simmer,
yeah,
and talk about
insanity
them.
Is the new normal, and what's going to be the response to that? Like in 2017, like what are things going to be like?
I don't know.
Like that's what's crazy is it's like, are we going to go back to a time when like things were simpler? Like is 25 mm-hmm. by Adele like a kind of. This is going to be what things are like now. Like, we're going to go back to a simpler time where we just, like, kind of, like, have basic shit because you can't expect to grab headlines anymore with your, like, insane behavior.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, the theory of the tipping point. And, like, if you look at the tabloid culture in the UK, they've always been, like, a decade or two ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what they're willing to do. Like, their biggest magazine has topless women on page six, you know,
yeah,
right, and those right. those women become famous for a week, and everyone's like, she's from Brighton, she's one of us, look at those teats, you know. And like they've been doing that for years, and they've had obviously the super obsessed celebrity culture, and then Princess Diana happened,
yes,
and then people started to pull back, and then they still entertained it with like the reality show characters and all of those TLC, like my 800 pound wife who does ballet shows.
Those have like British predecessors.
They're all yeah. from Britain. Like they're just, we're stealing from
American
them.
Idol too. Pop Idol and X yeah. Factor. Yeah. Huge.
So I think there will be a tipping point. Whoa. I just have no idea what it is.
I never realized that. And
I think
thank you, Brian, for bringing that true, actual, like profound piece of cultural knowledge.
That was
like...
insane right there.
I mean, no,
that really fucked me right there.
Okay. I mean, Matt's making a face, but like really
just got fucked by knowledge.
Yeah.
Honestly. If you look through history too, like there's a liberal time and then there's a conservative time and then there's a liberal and in culture, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
like it's true. The '60s and seventies were a thing. And then there was like the '80s and nineties where it kind of pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, right now you could argue that in the aughts and what we have now, we've been in a super kind of like very boundary pushing time.
For sure.
And you have to wonder, are we about to see that return to something else?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is, you know,
okay.
something interesting.
So, okay, this is a very unfair, like, scary question, but let's say someone raids your house, says you only get to keep three pieces of culture. Books, movies, TV.
Oh, my God.
What do you keep? What do you keep?
Well,
you
this is interesting, because am I keeping them for sentimental value, or am I keeping them because I'm going to use them?
Oh, that's a good question. And also, am I keeping them for the apocalypse? Like, am I Fahrenheit 451-ing these?
Oh.
Or is it just for my house?
It's just
what do you want
for...
people to think of you when they find this shit?
I know.
That you were super smart, or do you want to be truthful?
I think you want to be truthful. We want to be truthful. Let's be truthful.
This is a very hard question. I wish I had prepared
okay,
for
so
it.
I will answer
first,
out
because,
of fairness.
Yeah,
I want to keep The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
I want to keep...
Does that count as a book, movie, or TV?
A video game.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll include video games.
Multimedia.
Multimedia. I want to keep Lady Gaga Born This Way. No, I want to keep Fleetwood Mac Rumors. No, I want to keep it up. Beach hard. Boys, Beach Boys, Pet Sounds.
The thing is, while you've been making the decision, you unfortunately did burn.
Stop. Okay. Zelda Ocarina of Time, Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, and. Yes.
What a straight thing to say.
No, it's not. No, come on. I had a moment in college.
It's pretty silly.
It's a great. What?
No, I mean, I'm saying it's silly in a good way.
It's a silly fun. It's a pretty gay album. And I will say, oh God.
I can't even do this.
This is so hard. And then and a book. I want to keep a book just to balance it out. You know what? Let's do Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows. The Goblet of Fire.
I was going to say Harry Potter too, but actually it's what's most important to me is that people have a misconception of me that I was much smarter than I am. So here's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I would take Henry's picture that's hanging up in our apartment of Leonard Bernstein.
Oh.
I would take
brother.
In Cold Blood by Truman Capote, which I have, and it's one of my favorite books, for real knowledge. And then I would...
This is just about image. That's not the question.
No, okay. I'm kidding. This is a weird one. What's been most important to me that I feel will represent me? Yeah. I would probably grab Butterfly Album by Mariah Carey.
Yes.
You must. Mm. Probably like Goblet of Fire by Harry Potter.
Thank you.
J.K. Rowling's
by Harry
Potter and the Goblet of Fire, because I do believe it's the best book.
Yes.
Shout out to Elise Morales, who we did an entire episode of Las Culturistas about. Harry Potter, and I probably would oh man, it's not useful, but I still keep my like old tickets to Universal Studios, like my room keys.
Yeah,
I would just like take them with me.
That's
because I always have this irrational thing. Like if I ever do show up in Orlando, I don't have tickets, I can just somehow whip out my old things, my old like. Park tickets.
You
and
know,
like, yeah, sure, go in. Even though I know it'll never happen.
No, you're holding on to them for sentimental value, which is.
I am a hoarder, though. Henry will tell you I'm a full hoarder.
There you go. Those are Matt's three. This is a tough question.
It's a weird question. Yeah,
I know, because we have.
No, I don't mean weird. Like it's weird that you said it. It's like a weird one because it's hard to navigate.
It's
yourself.
It's also like hard media is
yes
are already irrelevant. Like you have. All of the media, like if this person's robbing you, are they also robbing you of your ability to watch any movie you want or stream any song you want? Like, is it just the thing that you want a hard copy of?
It's also so weird now because you don't need hard copies of anything because everything's so accessible. So like, yeah, that's what you're saying.
I mean, unless there's like a backlash and, you know.
Unless it is a Fahrenheit 451 thing, streaming servers are destroyed. Fuck. No streamings.
All right. The book I will keep is the 2016 Fall Restoration Hardware Catalog. It's 700 pages.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And if all goes to shit, I'll still have those chandeliers to look at.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Resto.
Beautiful.
Resto Hardware.
In honor of the Grammys tonight, which will have already happened by the time you hear this, I'm going to say an album of the year, Beck's Morning Phase.
2014.
Scientologist Beck.
He was a child of Scientology.
Don't matter to me, baby. So was Leah Remini, and she's still iconic. She's still leading the charge. She's still saving lives.
But it's the kind of album I could listen to every day.
Oh, that's great.
It's beautiful. He plays every instrument on it. It's an everyday album. And if this is what I'm holding on to
everyday stuff.
Naked with no furniture in my house after being robbed, I might want that.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, like the piece of like film or, this is hard. Film or TV.
Heathers.
Heathers.
Sure, I'll take it.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Heathers on DVD. Yeah,
Heathers on DVD.
Now I'm fixated on the fact that the Grammys are tonight. And you guys, we just went to go see Maren Morris.
Nominee for Best New Artist. Mm-hmm.
Do you know Maren Morris?
Church, yeah.
My church, yes. And also 80s Mercedes.
One of the best pop songs of 2016.
80s Mercedes.
Yeah.
Sort I love of. It. And also the Miranda Lambert like triple album that she put out this year was very good.
Very good.
I've been listening to that a lot.
Ah.
There's a song called In My Pink Sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that song. I've heard that song, yeah. Miranda, I want to love more than I do.
This album turned me.
Wow.
This was the Bill Compton to my... Sookie Stackhouse.
That's a little Matt Rogers cut.
Oh my god, I was so gagged. Is there no Venn diagram with us, Matt? I think we might be the same.
Like, just one big circle.
I got my wisdom teeth out and was on heavy drugs. And then
congratulations on the wisdom teeth.
Thank you. My life has never been better. No more canker sores. Recommend everyone gets them pulled. Seriously.
I always thought it was cankasore because my mom is from New York.
Yeah, cankasores. No, man, if you want to fucking fuck yourself, then
I do.
Get on heavy drugs. Go ahead, not gonna judge. Just get on HBO Now or HBO Go and watch True Blood. Mm. Oh my god. I love Anna Paquin.
First two seasons. I only watched the first two seasons.
I don't recommend the show to people because it doesn't get better as it goes.
Yeah.
But Mark and I needed an escape show, mm-hmm. and we were asking around. Everyone's like, "You gotta watch The Wire." Like, we don't want something serious.
No,
so we actually picked up.
this is too dark. It's real too.
Yeah,
I know.
It's too real.
He literally has like a master's in public health. Like he's like studied like you know statistics of poverty. Like this show is not going to be an escape from that. Like, but we picked up Penny Dreadful.
Oh, I heard it's good.
It is for sure mixed, but it is an escapist show with supernatural characters in Victorian England. It is True Blood meets Downton Abbey. Josh Hartnett's in it. There's nudity.
I heard you see his butt.
You see his butt.
Yeah. And by I heard, I mean like I have a screen cap website that I go to every now and then called superherofan.net.
Oh my God.
Where they screen cap the nudity of the week. Sure. Although the guy that runs it has been slacking and there hasn't been any updates.
There was one called one of these like Tumblr type blogs called Square Hippies.
Yeah, I remember it.
And it was like the guy just like curated cute guys from television the moment they take their shirt off,
right,
but not much more.
That's exactly what this is. And the last...
And it's like weird that I like... We have literally all the porn in the world. Mm-hmm. And that,
yeah, right.
that website is more appealing.
Because, like it or not, there is something about seeing a celebrity.
And a real person.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's a lo-fi quality. This guy that runs this website, superherofan.net, plug. I don't know who the fuck he is.
What a misleading.
He's like some like lonely gay like that made this website.
I just want to say what a misleading domain name.
I think it probably started out like pictures of Brandon Routh, then it became
oh
more.
Oh my god, Brandon! Does anyone remember Brandon Routh? Aaron Jackson made this joke about that woman on Survivor, but Brandon Routh just remembered who Brandon Routh was. Keep going.
Yeah.
Oh my god. They tried so hard to make
it
happen.
Yeah, it couldn't happen. The last update this guy did on the website was a picture of Chad Michael Murray, like shirtless around.
What?
And then you see Chad Michael Murray's butt, which is like such a thing you wish for when you're like 14 years old. And now that you see it, you're like, okay.
Cinderella story.
He had like sexual power over every teenager in the world.
Absolutely. He had full dominion. And now it's like there's no capital there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that a little bit. Jesse McCartney didn't have that moment.
He tried real hard.
But he went sexy so fast. And I guess we're okay with like, you know, Selena and Ariana doing it. Like,
but with men, it's different.
But men, it's sort of like shocking because he still looked like a kid. He was like, sure. I'm wearing a suit. And it's like, whose cousin's wedding are you going
to? Well, what didn't work for Jesse McCartney did work for Justin Bieber.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, Jesse was
talk
like
about being sexualized. Jesse
was a little precursor. It was like a little experiment to be like, all right, we're going to test it out here.
It's funny, though, because I think Justin Bieber is like the perfect fuck boy. Like,
yeah.
So the aesthetic, though, is like he's not... I mean, he can wear a suit, but that's not his look. He's still like activewear. It's like I'm bleaching my hair.
Athleisure.
I've got tattoos. Yeah, it's like
I don't know.
Trying to look adult.
In terms of sex symbols, though, we're truly settling for Justin Bieber. Like
we
it's
are.
Not. Come on, it is
not,
not that good. And those pictures are full on retouched. You know who's actually doing a better?
Wait, which ones? The dick pic?
No, not the dick pic. I'm talking about
his shirtless photos.
His like what's it? Mark Wahlberg, Calvin Klein ads.
Those
are ridiculous. And,
yeah, good angles.
Yeah, I mean, lots of retouching. But you know who's kind of assumed that position now is Nick Jonas,
right?
Who works for me, man.
But Joe Jonas is trying to like get in there too, and that's not working.
Joe has an 8-pack, and no one cares.
Joe's an 8-pack, but his whole frame is like not right.
He has an 8-pack because it's drawn on people.
No, the new
he looks like fucking Aladdin. He is as much of a cartoon as Aladdin in those pictures.
Which you make sound like a bad thing, which is not a bad thing.
He should look like a human being, not a cartoon.
Joe Jonas is the reason why we shouldn't listen to Network Notes. Because he was the one they put their money on. They were like, well, he's the star. Nick will, like, you know, have the floppy hair. And then there's Kevin.
Right.
And
But then Nick came up.
But, like, it was like, oh, it turned out Nick had, like, the real talent. He actually liked... How long we've been talking?
Keep going.
Turned out like Nick had the, you know, the charm,
the X factor,
the X factor, the hook that got people interested.
And I think,
I mean, yeah. Well, someone's a star, you can tell. I think that it was pretty obvious.
You know who's a star who's making a comeback? And I can't even get through that sentence without laughing. But one Aaron Carter came out with a new EP this weekend.
Trump supporter Aaron Trump Carter. Supporter.
He rescinded the support.
I don't care.
No, you know what? He's
Fool's
he
Gold
his
is not a bad single from this past year.
Fool's Gold?
I didn't even know that.
I haven't attempted to listen to Aaron Carter. I thought you were going to say Mandy Moore.
Oh, well, Mandy Moore, I will always stand for
but
Mandy
This
Moore.
Is Us is her. She's doing great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but, like, now, are people taking her full on seriously
as an
actress?
How mad do you think, like, is it Zachary Levi?
Zachary Levi, who was entangled with her.
Tangled, and then the next year, Frozen became like $1 billion.
Oh, sure.
I don't think the movies are that different. But the mommy blogs pushed Frozen so hard because it was not a romance story.
It was about sisters.
And it was about sisters.
And it was a news story. It wasn't just Rapunzel.
That's true. And a lot of people didn't know the Snow Queen. Maybe people in Denmark knew that story. You're right. It was a news story. But to me, as like someone who doesn't have kids, like they don't seem that different. I think the music is better in Frozen.
Yeah, it
interesting.
Is.
Like, obviously, that song is so catchy for little girls. Like, all my nieces can sing every single word, and they don't know how to, like, wipe their butts. But I will say, if I were Mandy or Zachary, I would be hating myself.
I mean, if it's any consolation to Mandy or Zachary, what I think, if you're listening, Mandy and Zachary, Tangled is narratively a tighter film, I think.
Wow.
Matt and I can disagree on this.
You know, we'll agree to disagree. I just feel like... I don't know. We've talked about this several times, but Frozen to me, people that listen are going to be like, oh my God, again, they're going to talk about Frozen. But like Frozen to me is, there's something about it. Like the way there's something about Nick Jonas. Frozen is a star.
Frozen is a star. Nick Jonas of the Disney canon. Absolutely.
All right.
What
just
are you
since
doing?
We talked about Bieber and I wanted to find this picture.
Oh, okay. That's him with his penis.
That's him. So Brian's fully showing us a picture of Bieber in the water with his little dong out.
So he released this the week after Orlando Bloom's weird Katy Perry wakeboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's
picture.
Definitely his dick. That's definitely him. But did he release this?
And then the week later, he let that happen. I mean, this is a posed photo.
Absolutely.
He's in like a lagoon with the sun.
But it's a healthy cock. You know what I mean? Like it's not a bad dick.
I'm looking at this and I'm like, there are better ones out there.
Better dicks?
But no, just better like stars who can just like or when the whole Orlando thing came out, I was like, great. Because we all
I just,
are Orlando.
I want to say I feel comfortable talking about this because it is so obviously staged.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It wasn't stolen off of his phone.
No, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. But yeah, the Orlando Bloom thing, it's like when he's literally dick out. Like his dick was literally
he's
on Katy Perry's back.
It was so weird.
It was so bizarre. They're both so fucking weird. And also this new Katy Perry song.
Oh, right. We didn't talk about Katy Perry.
Trash. She's going to perform it.
At the Grammys,
right?
Oh, God.
I mean, she'll be there.
The first few notes, I was like, ooh, is this like a fun 80s song? There was like a piano synth thing going on.
And she drops the fucking ball.
The first I heard it, I really didn't like it. And then yesterday, I did find myself listening to it more.
It came on in an Uber. It came on in an Uber pool on my way home, and I was like,
and I hate myself.
Abra last night said she loves it.
She loves it. That's, oh, well, okay, we'll take that into account. But I was in an Uber on the way home two nights ago, and it came on. I was like, oh, this song's catchy. And then I realized it was Katy Perry, Chained to the Rhythm. What a stupid
title. And also,
Chained to the Radiator.
yeah.
Also, when you listen to the lyrics a little bit, is it hinting that it's a little bit political?
Yes.
So comfortable, we're living in a bubble.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Why would you talk about the bubble? And also...
No. I mean, I've quoted this on the pod in the past when she performed at Hillary's benefit concert at Radio City. That
favorite
I went
story.
To. She just because Audra Day was there, Elton John was there, and they all sort of had moments in their sets where they just talked about how great Hillary was, and they made very cogent, you know, statements or whatever. And then Katie, I guess, decides she had to sort of get in there too. And she just, in the middle of her set, stops and tries to sound political and fails catastrophically. She goes, "Don't you know when you have the blueprints that you have to know how to build the house? You need to know where you're putting the bay windows." And, like, that's the bubble right there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Katie's
an
idiot.
Your campaign message is, when you're building a house and you need blueprints and
bay windows,
a degree in architecture. Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, this is how we're going to get
this is middle
the black
America.
Vote.
Let's talk about bay windows.
You have to talk about when you construct a house and get bay windows.
My friend has this theory about Katy Perry is that she doesn't think, like, whenever she's interviewed, what's your favorite song? It's never the song that it should be, you know? Like, yeah. Her best-selling song is E.T. Extraterrestrial featuring Kanye West.
Oh,
true story.
Lord.
Now, part of that is because she had, like, 5 singles in a row and had the momentum.
Yes.
And that was, like, the 5th one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But she thinks Wide Awake is the Katy Perry.
It's a good song. I don't think it's the song.
I love Wide Awake. I wish she'd come out with
but
a song
Henry,
like Wide Awake.
Right? Henry, you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
Did a piano version on Instagram today.
Did he?
Of The One That Got Away.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
And, like,
yeah,
see,
it was great.
I think
beautiful
that's
song.
Katy Perry.
Well,
you know?
Henry
Teenage
loves...
Dream is Katy
Teenage
Perry.
Teenage Dream oh, is please. Katy Perry.
Wide
to
Awake
me,
is,
iconic.
Like... To me, it's like Celine, later Celine Dion.
Sure.
It's Henry... adult contemporary. It's overproduced. It's vaguely inspirational. Like Walking on Air, that song.
Oh,
like I think Katy Perry wants that to be Katy Perry, and she'll do Roar.
She just didn't. She just.
But that's like the hook
what
for her.
What she needs to understand is that when she takes herself more seriously, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
We're out. We don't. We don't want that.
No.
We literally want you to shoot whipped cream out of your titties.
And she's
that's,
and she's pretty funny, I will say.
Yeah,
she's
oh, she's
funny.
Got a great sense of humor. And when she's tongue-in-cheek and, like, kind of blown up and, like, whatever. I mean, I do want to see her enter a stadium riding a huge lion. Like, that, to me, is Katy Perry.
Her first two songs were You're So Gay and You Don't Even Like Boys.
Right.
And I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. She had a point of view.
She had a point
definitely.
Of view.
She might have lost the narrative.
Teenage Dream, the album, like, really heightened that and, like, blew it up all the way. And even when she was taking herself seriously, you could still laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but now it's like, I think in her effort now to become more adult and take herself more seriously, she's become more washed out.
And look,
Rise
this
is
a
not good.
Perfect example. Bad. Oh, no, who even remembers Rise?
It was the worst part of the DNC.
Was when she sang it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Lost Hillary the Election.
Lost Hillary the Election was Rise by Katy Perry, which was meant for the Brazilian Olympics. Now, look,
they said no thank you.
They said no thank you. No, literally.
They said no gracias.
No gracias. No,
I don't speak Portuguese, but I'm guessing it's just Spanish. No gracias.
But like, I feel like you could say the same thing about Gaga's. Maybe she was taking herself a little too seriously. But then when she came out with this video for John Wayne this week, it
loved
was a return to form for like this goofy, crazy. And I said this last night to Sam when we were out last night. The reason I'm wearing a Gaga shirt right now, the reason I love her so much and I will always stand for her and Cher is because they're our goofiest pop stars. They are goofy, goofy, goofy. Like Madonna's never been Madonna's been like cheeky, tongue in cheek, but she's never been like a goofy, funny pop star. And
yes.
Meanwhile, Gaga and Cher RuPaul says the fear of your fear of looking stupid is holding you back.
Yeah, 100%.
Gaga and Cher do not have that fear.
Yeah.
And John Wayne, like, but for a second, like, Gaga will every now and then dip back into that, you know, very...
I like A Million Reasons, though. And
I love it.
Love A Million
and
Reasons.
And everyone throws shade at A Million Reasons, and I'm like, why? I don't understand. I think it's so good.
I think it also speaks volumes that it is one of the most covered songs of hers.
Yeah. Oh,
already?
Go on already. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Every time you walk into the duplex and Henry's playing, I literally walked in and there was someone singing A Million Reasons.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is a song.
This is a song.
If other people want to sing it, I mean, that's like, you take the Beatles as a great example of like awesome songwriting. It's like the Beatles song, the records probably in 1,000 years, like no one's going to be turning on Hey Jude, but they're going to be aliens like going, Hey Jude, don't let me down.
Where are the voiceover
like
agents listening? You better work.
Yeah, I do aliens and and bad British.
I would say Brian
and like Portuguese with the Portuguese with the
Brian should put on a whole live show with aliens singing Earthling covers.
I love it.
Yeah, it'll be totally in the dark, and yeah. you'll just stand on stage and you'll just do your thing.
I love it. Anyway,
I'm not a fan of this new Katy Perry. I am a huge fan of Lady Gaga returning to what I think is so special about her, which is her full on wacko.
Can I also say I don't like songs that describe a fun night rather than just being fun?
But I like, but Last Friday Night does both.
Right. That's a. I take it back. I like Last Friday Night.
I don't love Last Friday Night. I love California Girls, Teenage Dream. E.T. is a grower. It's pretty good.
Deep cut from that album, Hummingbird Heartbeat.
Yeah.
There's a nature science motif and Not Like the Movies.
I love Not Like the Movies.
Yeah. What, famously, when Bowen...
no,
Bowen and I were
this.
Talking and he's singing Not Like the Movies and it became clear that he thought the song was about sex. It didn't fit. It wasn't right. He thought it was about penetration.
Wasn't just the sex.
And I was like, wait, do you think this is about penetration and not someone putting a ring on a finger? And he was like, yeah. It's about penetration. It's about sex. I was like, that's disgusting. And no, it's not.
Well, there are things you save for someone you love.
And look, maybe it works on both levels.
He put it in me, he put it in, and I had to take it out. It was too big.
What I want to know is, Bowen, what movies are you watching?
I'm watching.
If these are not like them.
I will say
I'm
this one
I'm watching
the
movies on superheroes.net.
I turned around, we're recording here, and I turned around and was gagged. Netflix is on the TV in the background, and... Can we gag for a second about Santa Clarita Diet?
No.
Santa Clarita Diet. Oh, my God. No. Are you guys gagged? Are you excited?
I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet.
I heard
it's
trash.
Disgusting. I heard, like, it's graphic and gory.
It's about cannibalism, right?
Yeah. I heard the first scene is literally her throwing up everywhere.
No. Why? I don't want to watch that.
And I can't. I literally can't do it. And I was like, why did you do that? Show with Drew Barrymore? Of course I want to watch it.
Start with Drew.
Yeah. Of course I want to watch
it. And also, who's the hunk in it? What's his name?
Timothy Oliphant.
He's so great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's great. And he's a great talk show guest.
Really?
He's one of those guys that's just totally winging it. I love that. Mm.
You know who crushed on the Tonight Show the other night?
Oh, God.
Claire Danes.
Okay, no.
Crushed
we're
it.
Not getting
Stop
into
it. Crushed it on the Tonight Show and then did a sketch. And I was like, where's SNL asking Claire Danes to host? Because this woman is a sketch comedictress.
Okay, no, we're not getting into it.
I'm a fan of the talk shows that just interview them. And like Conan, I love Colbert.
Them.
Like, I love just like just interview them.
Sure. Matt
Shade.
Matt uttering the words, you know who crushed it on the Tonight Show, Claire Danes, and I just did not want to get into that any further.
You guys, I am a fan of the show, and it sounds like you are maybe shilling for Jimmy Fallon right now, that he's a fan of the show, and I'm just going to call it out right now that I think you're better than that.
Thank you so much, Brian. I agree.
I just want to say, Jimmy, if you're listening, thank you for everything that you've done. I think that you really bring a lot of personality and effervescence to late night. So thank you.
I mean,
you
the
for
only
that.
One I truly watch regularly is Sam B, but it's weekly.
Oh, same.
And the rumor is that Conan's going weekly as well.
Oh, yeah. I think that's not even a rumor. That's definitely
confirmed.
Happening. Yeah.
And I think it's going to make his show that much better.
I think that's a good move. Yeah. Great move. Because I it is appointment television for me to watch Sam B. All right, guys. Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes. Okay. So I Don't Think So, Honey. Brian has come in today with a list of topics. Now, I don't want to hear them. I want you to pick which one that you think is the best. Now, for our listeners who may be a little bit unfamiliar and been literally under a rock, I Don't Think So, Honey is the
cornerstone.
Centerpiece, the cornerstone of our show. It is... it's amazing, and it's where our guests and ourselves would take a minute to rail against something in culture that is really, you know, making us wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
And we have to fully take it down. You have to say, I don't think so, honey, as many times as possible, while also being natural about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot in store for I Don't Think So, Honey.
I think
so.
Yes, let's say
but,
that.
Let's just say that. And I think it's time. Are you ready, Brian? Bowen?
I'm
myself.
Ready.
Would you like to go first, Bowen?
I can go first. I mean, look, this is what always happens. I've noticed this. I always go first, keep it very measured, and then And then Matt will, you know, just...
Yes, all means telegraph what's about to happen.
Okay, well, maybe this...
Make it less fun for everyone listening.
Okay. All right, I think I'm just ready to... I'm ready to go.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I have 1 minute on the clock for Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and it starts... No!
I Don't Think So, Honey. Sweet Green. Oh! Honey, I am watching my macros right now because I am trying to eat more protein and carbs, but trying to cut out fat. Not completely cut it out, but here are my macro breakdowns. 200 grams of carbs, 200 grams of protein, 240 grams of carbs, 60 grams of fat. Everything on your menu has fat, and you try to pass yourself off as a healthy salad restaurant? Oh. No, bitch. All your salads have so much fat. I'm talking 50 grams of fat. Can you believe that? I Don't Think So, Honey. Sweet Green. Trying to just... con the American public into walking into your fucking restored wood bullshit salad restaurant spaces and think, oh, look at this red Thai salad. Isn't that a fun play on words because we're fucking basic like that? I don't want your red Thai. I don't want your spicy sabsi. I don't want your seasonal fucking falafel salads. I Don't Think So, Honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. I don't want this bougie ass salad experience undercutting my quest for nutritious food. Honey, I Don't Think So, Honey. Sweet Green, you are a farce. And I see right through you, bitch.
That's 1 minute. Ooh. Oh, my God. I think they're going to close.
I think they're going to close. I think that's one of my best.
I think that you should be very proud. Thank did you prepare that?
I did not prepare that, but just,
that was amazing.
It came to me within the last 2 minutes before we were
it
about to
it came to you, and you knew.
Yes.
That's what you had to do. I Don't Think So, Honey, about.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Yes, God. Amazing. All right.
I'm proud of you.
What do we think about Sweet Green?
I've literally never been in my life.
I have the app, and I am okay with spending $17 on a salad there.
That's the other thing. $17 on a salad, and then, what, $5? $5 on an infused iced tea? No, thank you. I Don't Think So, Honey. All right.
I mean, I gotta say, that was very effective. I have one.
Okay, great. And I'm going to put 1 minute on the clock for Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the new version of Beauty and the Beast sung by Ariana Grande and John Legend. Bitch, no. I Don't Think So, Honey, with your fucking Casio keyboard sound effects in the back. You better hire real musicians. Disney, I Don't Think So, Honey. You've done this before. You know what it is like to be on the top of your game. Why then? Why do you give us this bullshit, this garbage? Someone tell Ariana Grande to use her diction and crunch her fucking consonants. You can't understand the words. You cannot come to me after Angela Lansbury slays the gig in the early 90s and Peebo and Celine Dion to give you an iconic pop version and give me this garbage. Obviously, Ariana Grande and John Legend were not in the same room when they recorded. The violins sound fake. The keyboard sounds fake. Yes. It sounds like a keyboard, not a piano. Give us Disney magic. You're losing it, Disney. You only care about the bottom line. You need to do this right. I'm serious. It's a shame that you keep making these Disney remix when you haven't figured it out. You're missing something. Fuck you. I Don't Think So, Honey.
I Don't Think So, Honey. That's 1 minute. Wow, Matt. I think you nailed it. I mean, what happened to Peebo? Can we talk about Peebo? He nailed that.
Well, let me... I just feel like we're headed into a catastrophic thing with this Beauty and the Beast remake.
If the dolls are any indication.
God love her, but, you know...
Too real face. It's the uncanny valley.
Those dolls.
I just... God love her, but Emma Watson, like, these snippets of her singing, they don't sound good, and it's like...
She was supposed to be in La La Land. You know this, right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah, I heard about that.
She was offered it originally.
Her and Miles Teller, who's the other one?
Oh, God.
Someone
her
else.
Her and Miles Teller, I think that was
you
it. I think that it's a good thing they didn't do that because I think they would have fucking hated each other.
Oh, sure. And the movie would have been bad.
Ugh. I love Emma Watson, but... Like, you know what? There's no shame in just, I guess, I don't know, having someone else sing it.
This is a roller coaster. Oh, yeah. Having, like, Natalie Wooding it, you basically, like,
I guess. I mean, or just, like, do hire someone that can sing. They're out there. And, you know, La La Land is one thing. I've given Emma Stone a pass for not being the best singer in the world. But, like, this is...
That's the point,
music
though.
That we know. Right. This is, like, and you know... You can guarantee the movie is going to hit less hard when you hear these songs sung much worse than we're used to. Like,
it's such a shame because there really was so much promise. And Matt, you've been on a documented on this podcast. You've been on a roller coaster with this movie, honey.
I'm excited about it. I was excited about it, but now I just can't ignore every sign being bad. Like,
she does not. Emma does not sound good.
She doesn't sound good. They didn't make any effort to make it sound like it wasn't sung through a fucking refrigerator. Like, and also, I'm sorry, but when the new Beauty and the Beast remake, the pop version sounds, and it's like, and all of a sudden you hear like ding 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 ding, and it sounds like an effect on a Casio keyboard, I'm like, no way.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
It's just so disappointing.
Unless it's deliberately a throwback to that sound in the 90s.
But to the point where I might not even
see
it.
Did they go with Dan Stevens because he was, like, affordable?
Is he the guy playing the Beast?
He's playing the Beast.
Is it because he has a British accent?
Oh.
He's definitely super handsome and talented. But I think, maybe he was
Legion. He's the new FX show. Legion.
Oh, he's on that
Disney
show.
Only cares about the bottom line. You see it in all their products now. It's so disappointing. You see it in their theme parks, which are now officially malls. You see it. I mean, they had this really kind of classic little coffee shop on Main Street USA in Magic Kingdom. It's now a Starbucks. That's real. It just sucks.
Whatever will sell, yeah.
It sucks. And it's also like, you know,
they
have
will
some respect,
do the
have
live
some
action fairy tales until they stop making money.
Yeah.
There's no like,
and
let's only do the good ones.
Doesn't matter how good they are. Yeah. Right. You know, expect the Little
Maleficent
Mermaid.
Maleficent made like the most.
And it was a bad movie.
It was horrible.
It made the most money. Like it made Angelina Jolie like it reaffirmed her A-list movie star status.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I mean, it wasn't good. And sure. It could have been good.
Could have been great. All right. Anyway. It's Brian Foss's time on I Don't Think So, Honey. I cannot wait for this.
This is going to be... And you got to make a decision, Brian.
I think Brian's going to... I think no matter what, Brian's going to do great. And not to put too much pressure.
Okay.
But here we go. This is Brian
Foss. Not to put too much pressure, but we did just do two of our best I Don't Think So, Honey.
I honestly was like, wow, that was really great.
No, this is going to be great. And look, we're going to... You better believe Matt and I are going to gasp.
And this is also the chance... Figure I Don't Think So, Honey, to go down history and potentially be animated.
Oh, I want that.
Okay, here we go.
Let's see.
By Lulu Krauss. Here we go. Brian Foss, I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
All right, I Don't Think So, Honey, about adult birthdays. Okay.
Oh!
You're not a child, okay? Why do you deserve cake? If you are a good person, your friends will be nice to you every single day. You shouldn't get this magic wand where it's your birthday, so if you say, I want to go to a ninja-themed sushi restaurant, you get to have all your friends show up and throw down $200 for your fucking birthday? How old are you? You should stop celebrating birthdays. You should have friends that treat you nice. And guess what? If you're turning 40, I'm not going to fly to the fucking Curacao Dutch colony. And like, these are the same people, by the way, that make, you know, put on a birthday crown and like march around like everyone's suddenly their slave. They're the same people that bitch about destination weddings. It's like, you have a destination wedding every single year. 100%. And I have to like come up with some excuse to like not go. And then there's sort of like, there's that moment where they're like, well, I think I'm going to open presents in front of people. And it's like, I didn't know that we were bringing presents. What do you mean? My presents should be your presents. Fuck your birthday. You're a grown up.
Oh, that's 1 minute. Wow.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I think that people that take their birthday seriously and it's not a bit, I actually think they're crazy.
It's insane. It's one thing. I mean, look, I'm be at this bar. Come on by. Let's get drunk. I'm about that any night of the week.
Hundo P.
But this thing where like I literally texted a friend like, let's go see John Wick. And then he bailed.
But, okay, can we just point out, just for context, yesterday was Brian Foss's birthday.
Yes.
Keep going.
And
oh, my God, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's one of my least favorite days of the year. I'm, like, beholden to acquaintances texting me saying happy birthday and you have to text back. I feel like, I was like, this is not... Anyway, so randomly this week, I wanted to go see John Wick 2. Friend bailed. Mm-hmm. I saw him in person and he was like, why didn't you tell me it was your birthday? I would have gone.
And that's Brian's point.
What? Yeah. I said, look, you had something going on. You had you didn't bail because you didn't want to see the movie or want to hang out, right?
Who is this? No.
Carmen Christopher.
Carmen.
And he said, but look, I'm one of your boys. If it was your birthday, I would have canceled my other thing to show up. And
good,
I'm like,
Carmen impression.
That's look, a great Carmen impression.
Yeah.
I'm one of your boys.
Look, I'm one of your boys.
We love Carmen. But
I'm
look,
Latino.
Carmen, though, this is not just specific to Carmen because I probably would have said
everyone
the same.
Feels that same way where they're like, oh, the obligation factor.
There you go.
But it's.
But Brian's saying if you're a good person, then they're going to want to see John Wick 2 with you no matter what.
Sure.
You
know, or if it's a fun plan.
Yes. I guess I'm a great person then because I literally went on Facebook and saw 50 people have written on Brian Foss's wall, happy birthday. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to him later.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not. This is what Brian is getting at.
Facebook has sort of ruined birthdays, but that's a whole nother story. I'm talking about the.
We can get into it.
Big.
Performative aspects of adult birthdays.
Oh, I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. And when people get mad that you didn't go out of their way for their birthday, it's like, you gotta be fucking.
And there's a
me.
Thing that millennial girls do, and I don't want to say millennial like a dirty word.
Or gendering girls.
They
but
post pictures of their friend on their birthday to prove that they are close to them. And I feel like that is a...
That is not exclusive to millennial girls.
No, okay.
That's a millennial gay thing too.
Yes, it is a power move because you're afraid of this friendship.
Yeah.
Like the subtext is like the birthday, the birthday power. Now, great. I love celebrating people. Yes. I, you know, famously love Langan Kingsley's 51 gay people after Orlando.
She did not continue that.
Langan, if you're listening...
Never made the list.
Never made the list either.
Me neither.
She got through, what, three people?
Yeah.
It was like Josh, Aaron...
Brandon.
Yeah. Her gays.
You got 40-something more people to celebrate.
Like, she's got a long way to go.
I'm all about celebrating people. And we fortunately are in an industry where we can always, like, say, I love your video. That was a great song.
There's work to refer to.
Your new painting is amazing. And we have this opportunity, and I realize regulars don't.
Normies.
And so maybe birthdays occupy that space. But it has turned into, like, a pageant that is, like... It's like you don't get a bar
mitzvah.
Then
you get the thing of like, well, it's my birthday weekend, or it's my birthday week, or it's my birthday month. I had someone that's like, it's my birthday month.
Surprise me, it's my birthday month.
Oh, I name names. Me. Name names, bitch. No, you don't have to. But no,
I will not.
It is a very basic thing to do.
I will say this. The posting the photos and like the tributes.
Maybe I went too far with that.
No, I don't think, I think there's a grain of, there's definitely a grain of truth to that. But like.
You didn't.
When it's Matt's birthday, you best believe I will post.
I always go in for Bowen's birthday. And Sudi's birthday.
Well, here's the thing.
I will go in for my people.
You're best friends. You have pictures of each other. And sometimes you're like, I don't know what to put on Instagram. And so when the birthday pops up, you're like, oh, now I have something fun to put. And
yes.
It's celebratory.
There you go.
It's the things that feel like just obligation. I had a friend where I saw him only at, the only time we hung out was at his birthday.
Mm.
And on the third time, I was like, I don't think we're
not friends.
We're friends. Yeah. Like, I'm only seeing you once a year.
And also.
Yeah, and it was at the same, you know, that fucking bar Hot Bird. Everyone has their birthday app because there's like a fire pit in the backyard and it's in the part of Brooklyn that no one can say what neighborhood it is.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, birthday at Hot Bird. And I was like, if I have to go to Hot Bird one more time to like pay my respects to the birthday king, I will kill myself.
And also, is it,
I do not think so.
I don't think so, honey. This is real. This is
my birthday
deep
is
one.
Coming up, and I never know where to have it. Too, it puts the onus on you to like figure out what's central for everyone.
What are you doing for your birthday? Who are you gonna invite?
I panicked last year because a few years before I had my birthday at Union Hall. And it was during the week, and so it wasn't crowded at all. And then last year, my birthday fell on a Saturday, and I was like, we're going to Union Hall. And it was so crowded, and I was the first to show up, and I was the first person. I was the only person there for that first half hour.
Half hour.
And I'm like, I don't even really like being here when it's this crowded, and it's this crowd.
Yeah.
If I were invited,
I wouldn't come.
Yeah. I had to fucking travel for it.
Again, if you turn 30, if you have like an event, and you want to like make it fun for the people coming, and sure, plan a thing. Like,
sure.
But I'm going to have it at my house this year.
Also, I will say this. I realized this on my most recent birthday.
In Suffolk County?
In Suffolk, yeah.
My parents' house.
My most recent birthday, I realized it was lovely. Great people came. It was so nice to see everybody. But then I also felt like I didn't have enough like actual FaceTime with any one person.
Yeah, you can't. You never can.
You're making the rounds. If it's your birthday, you're making the rounds. And it's like truly not... It can be better. There's got to be something better. So anyway, you know what?
You get stuck talking to like a friend from a different group.
Right.
And you're like, so how do you know Bowen?
Yeah. And it was.
Oh, okay. NYU. Cool.
And then there's always that person that shows up and like love you for showing up. But that person that shows up and it's just like, oh no. Am I going to have to like.
Stop.
Babysit this person a little bit because like. I can tell they don't know anybody.
Yeah, and then I have a few friends who love them. They like want to rage.
Yeah.
They're like, it's your birthday. I'm buying you drinks. And it's like, I have a drink. I'll have the right amount of drinks.
Yeah.
I've never had trouble getting drunk. But it's this thing where it's like, no, we're going to make a fool out of you.
Yeah.
There's this extra attention. Everyone has their own version of it. But it is, I think it's childish.
I think I nailed it 2 years ago when I just invited like 7 people to go out to dinner.
That's cool.
Yeah. When we went to Tall Day that one time.
Was great. I was there.
Yeah, it was just fun.
That was fun.
Is Tall Day, can I ask, an expensive restaurant?
You know, it errs on the side of like a little bit nicer. I wouldn't say it's expensive.
It's not a fancy
It's like family restaurant. Style.
Yeah. I went to a friend's birthday. get this.
Uh-oh.
Getting
that
it.
Had, like, assigned seating.
No, no. See, that's...
Nope. I'm out.
Unacceptable.
And no, I no. was put at, like, the side of the table without the people I knew.
Just don't make it a high maintenance wedding? Thing. And also, this
right?
is, because
at a brunch
terrible.
Place on the Upper West Side, and I wanted to climb up the wall.
Oh
this
my
is
God.
The thing with weddings too, though. Don't make it hard for people socially. Like I get that it's about you. Like if you want to make your birthday about you, sure. But like, don't make it weird for other people. I hate the assigned seating thing.
I went to a friend's wedding at the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens this past year, and was definitely sat at, like put at the boring couples table, and I knew it. And guess what? I didn't sit there.
What did you do? Where'd you
pulled
sit?
Pulled up a chair to the fun singles table.
Brian.
I'm your dummy. I'm like, I see what you did.
I love it.
You got to spread people around. But like, I was like, it's a party. This is supposed to be a party.
Yes.
You know what? I guess that's what it is. If you're going to assign seat, at least put me with the fun people. And every wedding I've been to, they put me with the fun people. So thank you to
Matt,
all the weddings of 2016.
Matt, every table you're at becomes the fun table. By
that's, girl, that's a little bit true. all right, you guys. And wow, what a good I don't think it's funny because it promoted a conversation.
Yes, mm-hmm. That was a true seedling. That was a masterful
what a
one.
Culturista.
True culturista.
And what a Las Culturistas episode.
Absolutely. Guys.
Brian, what day is Ding Dong?
Ding Dong's February 24th.
February 24th.
It's Oscars weekend, Friday, 7:30. So Ding Dong,
hooray
Dom Manzalillo and I are co-hosting a pre-Oscars party.
Dom Manzalillo, that's a sexy boy.
Okay.
I've heard. I can't tell by his pictures, but I'll keep looking and see if it finally...
So many sexy little straight boys.
Okay.
Could just name more names, but you know we'll name names off the air. You know we do.
There's more of them. Their chances are higher.
You know what? You're right.
You're right. You're right.
There's you're right. More. You're right. You're
right. We're not thinking about all the unsexy straight people.
Sure.
We're not thinking about you. We're not thinking about you. We don't think about you, boys. This has been so great. Brian, thank you so
Brian,
much.
Brian, we
for,
love you so much.
Yeah,
doing.
See you, Matt, at Ding Dong. Ding
I will
dong.
See you at Ding Dong.
And we'll see Brian soon.
And you know what? For everyone listening at home, there's a big announcement coming.
Oh, where we can announce it
and
just
that's
yet.
That's all I'm going to say.
But we'll announce something
But there's
big.
A big announcement coming.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Brian, where can people find
Our
you
producer,
online?
Our producer, Alex, just freaked out a little bit.
I know. Yeah. We just gave him such a heart attack. But no,
but
everything's fine.
I'm not saying what the announcement is. I'm just saying it's coming.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's coming.
In a way, is ruining the announcement. Who knows?
No, it's not.
Okay.
You'll be gagged when you hear.
Okay. You can find me on Instagram. Brian Fostagram, Snapchat
what a
is
good
Brian
name.
Foss Snap. Twitter is Brian_Foss. Facebook, sure, you follow me on Facebook too if you want.
Wow, do it. I recommend it.
I love social media. It's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Brian,
it's
great. We love you. This has been Bo and Yang.
This has been Matt Rogers.
You know what? Have a great day.
Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the Grammys.
Bye.
Which are last night.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.